Have you ever dreamed of being rich and famous? Maybe you have dreamed of following in the footsteps of Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos. Have you ever asked yourself what it took to get there? We'll join Rebecca Davis as she interviews the current rich and famous to discuss what steps were taken on their journeys. Welcome to Big Journeys, Small Steps.
Good morning, everybody. This is Big Journey, Small Steps. And today I have some very, very, very special guests coming in all the way from Dubai, Caroline and Sergio. Are you guys in Dubai right now?
We are.
Yeah, we're here.
What's the weather like there? I'm curious. I'm in Texas. It's been nothing but crazy storms here.
It's hot. We're sitting in aircon, but it's
very hot, actually.
Lovely.
Yeah.
I've just been lying by the pool.
Oh my gosh. So it's like your summertime there.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. So we're just coming into spring here. Well, I'm so excited for you guys to be on our show today. Thank you so much for joining us. What we like to discuss is how you got to where you are. So we want to go way back. I was doing some reading, and Caroline, I noticed you started in the gift business. Can you take us back to that? How did you get involved in that, and where did it go from there?
Well, I was a stylist before, where I started shopping for very, very high net worth individuals, just because they were cash rich and time poor, I guess, and they always liked what I was wearing. So I started styling for them, and it really led so organically, because I built this database of very important clients over the years and that trusted me with everything. And then I would get home, be going to a dinner party, never had a gift, never had the gifts for the house. And I was like, oh, you know, I don't have any time, because I, you know, it was the end of the day. And then I was like, God, there was the days that Net-a-Porter started. And I was like, wouldn't it be great if I could just order online gifts, have it wrapped and sent it straight to my friend's house? And that's really how it came about. And then, you know, I raised a lot of money for it, and it grew and grew for, I think it was over nearly 10 years I had that business. And then in between, housewives came. So, you know, while I was doing that, I was like, how do I grow the business in America? So I was like, okay, you buy a billboard or you go in housewives. So I started doing my first show, which I was on for 4 seasons. And then
how come about? Did like somebody just walk up to you and be like, you would be great for the show? How'd you go from a gift business to literally being a star, a celebrity?
Well, exactly that, because my business was quite big, and we were doing the back end of like some American Express. We were looking after some of the most famous names in the world. So everyone knew who I was in London. And it was called Ladies of London, actually, not Housewives, but it's the same network and producers. And they came to me, they wanted female CEOs, and there weren't a lot of us at that time. You know, I said, absolutely not. I've got way too much to do and I can't go on a show right now. Then I just made up my mind one day. I was like, oh my God, you know what? I'll just try out. What's the likelihood? I can always say no. I'll do the casting. And then I was the first one they chose.
They say no.
Well, yeah.
I think that you make a good point in that, though. Even though you're unsure what you wanted to do, you still took the risk. You still put yourself out there to see what if.
Well, I think with when I was doing it back in the day, there weren't really many reality shows, and there were none in the UK. So, you know, people thought it was like awful to do. And not that people love it that much. I mean, they love to watch it secretly, but they always, you know, poo-poo it. But, you know, when I did it back in the day, my mother was like, oh my God, don't tell your grandmother. She'll have a heart attack and die. Don't tell anyone you're doing this. And I used to, it was like a dirty secret. Now, I guess lots of people would like to do it. It's fun, right? And now I think people have got used to it. But back when I did it, it was like shocking.
Now, Sergio, as you started your career in football, Americans like to call it soccer, but it's technically football.
Yeah.
Take us back, because that probably started when you're an itty bitty kid, right? How'd you know you had this love for it? And then how did you balance, you know, being a kid, growing up, getting trained to actually go on to be a professional football player? Walk us through that.
Yeah. So basically, I mean, I started playing soccer when I was like literally a baby. Like I was with a soccer ball always since I was like 1 year old, you know. It was all around the house playing with ball and everything. It was just my, like, literally my best friend. I was just ball. And then I think at the age of 12, my dad was about to send me to San Francisco because he was gonna move there for the company, and we're gonna move the whole family literally San Francisco to study and live there. And then literally Real Madrid, well, Nike came first and then Real Madrid, and then kind of our life kind of plan changed completely because we said, oh my god, it was not in my plan to, you know, like dedicate my life to soccer, but I mean, it's Real Madrid, why, you know, I'm gonna try. And then I tried for a whole year with just under a basic contract, and then, you know, I scored lots of goals and stuff, and then they signed me at 15 years old a professional contract. So everything changed very early stage in life. I kind of has to transition from normal school to a different school, and I didn't really have any childhood. That's why I'm so close to my family, because, you know, I was training the whole day, then I was studying, and then the little time I had left, it was just spending time with my family, you know. My mom, dad, they were always there taking me to the trainings and the game. So, you know, I just didn't have that many friends at the moment. It was just a lot of competition and lots of people around me, but no one really close, because everybody wanted to beat you, you know, to become bigger. And then I think, you know, slowly I played for Real Madrid, and then I realized that at some moment in life, I was not really happy what I was doing, because, you know, I prioritized other stuff before happiness, and I was just not healthy, not happy. And I, you know, I went against what everybody told me, which was stay. And then I switched completely, moved to the US. I mean, lived a little bit in Europe in different places playing soccer and using the name I got from Real Madrid. And then I moved to the US and tried soccer again. But I got a good feeling that it was not my path anymore. So I changed completely careers, got my master's, and switched into business. And honestly, it was the best decision I ever took, because I managed to use all the connections I had from soccer to kind of, you know, transition into business. I think that the main kind of, like, if I can give any advice, is just don't be afraid of taking any decisions, because even though I thought it was the worst decision that happened to me, because it was quitting my dream, it was the best in a long term, because it opened me so many doors, and, you know, it allowed me to be who I am today.
Now, are you still involved somehow? I think I saw that you're coaching, is that correct?
No, I'm not coaching. I'm doing some kind of business in the soccer industry, but nothing related to the game itself, you know? It's just something around, but I'm not coaching or anything involved in the soccer, yeah.
This segment of Big Journeys, Small Steps is sponsored by Cannonball Insurance Solutions. KBI specializes in Medicare, individual, and family health insurance plans. Licensed in 47 states, willing to find you the right plan for your budget and your needs. Give them a call at 254-918-5444 or check them out online at kbisolutionsllc.com. That's Cannonball Insurance Solutions with a K.
Obviously, everybody knows there's a little age difference between y'all. I love it. My mother is actually 13 years older than my father, and they were married for 47 years.
Oh, wow. 47 years.
How do you guys manage, because you're super, super busy and, you know, fairly new. I mean, not newlyweds, but you're still fairly newlyweds. You're not 47 years into it, that's for sure. How do you guys balance your personal lives, your family lives, and your business, and how do you help each other out with that?
We try, I think, to kind of like listen to each other and understand the needs that each of them has, and yes, don't look at me like that. And then just I think it's just trying to find that balance, you know, because I mean, obviously we are humans, and you know, I would love Caroline to be 100%, you know, how my dream wife would be, and I know she would want me to be how her dream husband would be, but I cannot do that. So I think we just have to look at the positive things that each of us add to the relationship, which are a lot, and then always smile and never take them for granted, and then try to work together. And that's what we kind of try to do, just work together to try to just find that balance, you know, because I think that's nobody's perfect. It's just trying to, you know, push each other into kind of like growing together, you know, and to try to find time for each other. I think we just travel a lot, you know, we try to just reconnect as soon as we kind of leave. And
we're together, you know, 24/7. We need to try and find also time for other people. We have the opposite problem.
Kind of. But, you know,
I remember the exact moment I fell in love with my husband. I'm sure you remember yours as Sergio. Can you share a piece of that with us?
Yeah, I would like to ask her that, actually. Do you remember the exact moment you fell in love with your husband?
I'm the goldfish, so I don't know. I think...
I need to know. Actually, that's a question I don't know, so please.
You straight away, like I thought it was hot.
Not hot. Fell in love.
I know. I've got to remember. Oh, I can barely remember my own name. Okay. I don't know when it happened. Excuses. Probably on one of our trips.
And that's in the relationship already. Oh my God. Okay.
I'm a slow burn. What can I say? He was 20 years younger. I could hardly go. You know, I worked out last night when I got married the first time round. He was 6.
Oh God. Okay. This is great.
I'm dining out on
with you, Nata. When did you fell in love?
I can't remember when you moved here, maybe.
When I moved here already, like
before.
Oh,
I don't even remember. When did you?
In the first 2 months. The first day I saw her, I was like, wow, look at her. Like, she's looking all this pretty with this like pink dress, like long one, amazing. And then we literally.
It's different. He was a young boy. Like, young boys' hormones go crazy straight away. I had to be more practical.
So you didn't feel it in the beginning?
No, I felt it, but I don't know whether it was lust or love.
Oh my God. I'm done.
Oh, we're getting divided after this podcast, so thanks.
Well, I know your guys' schedule is super busy, so I won't keep you. I super appreciate your time with me today, and everybody on Big Journey Small Steps are just going to love y'all. Thank you so much, and have an amazing rest of your day, and I look forward to all your new adventures.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye, Rebecca.
Thank you for being a part of Big Journeys, Small Steps. If you like our content, you can find us on YouTube, Spotify, and Facebook. Be sure to share, subscribe, and like so we can continue to create quality content. Until next time.